The Ravian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEN.
We welcome you to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM. I'm Ian Stevens, joined by Dawson Peril. And today we'll be having Coach Joyce, Coach Trout, and Coach Richmond joining us later on here for the Fall Coaches Show. But Coach Joyce, thanks for joining us. So starting off here, last night you guys took a tough loss against the Greenfield Central Cougars, bringing a close end to your season. So how do you think not only the wide receivers did, but also the team as a whole performed last night?
Well, I thought we fought. Week four, we statistically was our worst offensive performance, running and passing, when we played them the first time. I felt like we finally found our identity the last few weeks ago. We finally turned it up offensively. And I couldn't be more proud of how we went out fighting last night.
And then when talking about receivers on the Arabians, of course, one of the most names brought up is going to be senior Jalen Jordan, who led the team in both catches and receiving yards. But how do you think he mentored some of the younger receivers this past season?
I just think he's a quiet leader, but every day he shows up and he does his job, which for those young kids, they just need it. I mean, no excuses are ever made. Good, bad, and ugly. He showed up, he did his job, and it showed on the field.
Yeah, and you mentioned there a bit about that week four performance against Greenfield Central. So just comparing that game to last night's game, how do you think that offense just progressed throughout the season?
Well, I think, like I said, we regrouped a little bit after like the Mount Vernon game. Coaches and players got together. We regrouped. And we've started doing some things a little differently.
Yeah.
And we found ways to get playmakers the ball a little better. I don't remember what the stats were. It doesn't matter what they were week four. But last night, Isaac Wilson's 14 for 15. Only incompletion was late, throwing the ball away just to save the clock. Anything that was thrown up, we caught. He ran all over the field. I mean, really offensively, we could do whatever we wanted last night. Unfortunately, we just didn't hit the ball enough.
Yeah, and one of the biggest things when it comes to playing the wide receivers that sometimes can be overlooked is the need to hold blocks, so especially on those outside runs and screens. So how important is that aspect to the wide receiver's game?
I mean, blocking on the edge is just as important as it is in the inside. You know, a lot of times linemen get a lot of grief for missing blocks, but my guys on the perimeter, we get this. I hold the same expectation that Coach Jesse does of those linemen. We take a lot of pride in it, which is why, you know, this year, better than ever, we've been able to throw bubbles on the outside and get more than just 2 or 3 yards at a time. You know, I think last night we threw two bubbles, I think 10 and 8 yards each. But we take pride in the blocking on the perimeter and being physical.
And then just talking about the receivers last night, you talked about Isaac Wilson, 14 of 15. Almost every pass he thrown was caught by the receivers. But what type of discipline does that take by the receivers? I remember one play last night, Reese Reddington on the sideline was able to catch it, but focused on getting his feet in bounds to save the possession.
Yeah, like I said, it's a credit to all those kids. They work hard every single day. We do drills, obviously, to focus on some of those things, but drills are one thing. You know, doing it in a game is a different. And it's the things they do every single day, which is why they're able. It's just natural to them. You know, I watch Reese Drayton do that every single day. I mean, I think the last 3 weeks he's had at least had a sideline catch where he's had a tiptoe on the sideline to stay in bounds. But, you know, the last few weeks, you know, we've built that chemistry with Isaac a lot more. And I thought it showed last night. You know, a few times Isaac scrambled in the pocket, but we stayed alive. And, I mean, Isaac Wilson was the best player on the field last night. I'll say that until my dying day. You know, they may have won the game. You know, their running back probably had the stats. But to me, Isaac Wilson was the best player on the field. And he put us in positions to win. Then he gave the receivers positions to make plays.
So when talking about Isaac Wilson, a dual quarterback threat, well, last season he played the wide receiver position. So how does him knowing that wide receiver position help benefit him back in that quarterback spot?
Well, I think he understands. It helps you understand the game from a different perspective. You know, it's easy to sit in the sideline and say, hey, the quarterback should know how to do all these things because he's the quarterback. But until you're out running routes and understanding, you know, how, you know, DBs have leverage on things, it's hard to understand, you know, route running. And him being able to him running routes last year and seeing that from that perspective, I think helped when he's quarterback, you know, put the ball in the right spot and let those guys make plays.
Yeah, and another one of those players that you just have to bring up when talking about your wide receiver, Nate DeRolf, had a great night and a great start to his varsity career, having over 250 yards and a couple of touchdowns. So what did you see from him this season?
I saw a lot of growth. I mean, week one, you know, our scrimmage week, everybody talked about Nate DeRolf because we, in the scrimmage week, we threw a lot of bubbles. And he caught bubble after bubble after bubble, you know, making plays. And he kind of fell off a little bit early. And I think we made a conscious effort to get him involved, and it showed. I mean, he did a lot of things, you know, simple things that you don't see on camera or see in the stat book maybe. You know, I think about we called two reverses back-to-back weeks, you know, and we haven't done that in 7 years. But it, just because Nate DeRolf's a kid that you get the ball to him, he's going to make a play. And he showed again and again last night.
Yeah, and another side of things, although it doesn't really happen too much, you can also throw in the talk of Jared Hess at the receiving back position. He catches some passes on the check down. So how important is that for the running backs, to have those hands and run those routes?
I mean, the more guys that you have the ability to make plays, it makes it tougher on defenses. Jared Hess, I mean, you can't say enough about the kid. I mean, I know he didn't play first couple years, but since he's come to join the team, he's done nothing but lead this team, help this team in everything that he's done. And, you know, being able to run downhill is great, but you get a guy like Jared that can step out and catch balls on the perimeter, it makes the defense have to worry about him even more. And then you got three or four other guys that can do the same thing. I mean, Nate DeRolf was in the backfield last night. We ran the jet sweep with three different guys yesterday, you know. So having multiple guys to be able to do the same thing, as a defensive coordinator, it kept me up at night.
So then on the offensive side of the ball in practice, a lot of seniors up there, all the way from the receivers to backs to up front on the front line. So how would you say their overall coaching and mentorship is really going to be able to affect these underclassmen who are returning next season?
If you can't learn from the senior class on what it takes to win, you weren't paying attention. You know, I've been with these guys. You know, I coach freshman football, so I was with these guys as freshmen. You know, not a 5-5-4, I think, freshman year, maybe 6-3. But, you know, they won a lot of gritty games as freshmen. Nothing was blowout games, you know, had to work for everything. And I think that's the thing about this class is nothing was really given to them. Came up, showed up every day, and they worked. And that's what they worked their butts off to get to where they were. And if as an underclassman, if you can't appreciate what it takes to be good and see from the senior class what it takes to be good, you aren't paying attention.
Well, Coach, thank you for joining me, and thanks for being with us this season. But when we come back, me and Dawson will recap what we saw last night here on the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Citizens State Bank. Citizens State Bank offers personal and business banking loans and investing services. Citizens State Bank has hours Monday through Saturday with a 24-hour drive-up ATM located at 129 South Pendleton Avenue and online at mycsbin.com.
Is life too boring for you?
Well, that changes now.
Tune in to The Conversation with Afternoon Pick-Me-Up every Tuesday through Friday from 3 to 5 p.m.
91.7 WEEM.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM. But last night, definitely a heartbreak game for the Arabians. That's a team that we talked about. They faced back there in week four, lost 35-0 in Greenfield's territory. They go back when it matters the most in the sectional time. They started off, struck the scoreboard first, held a lead for part of the game, and then it was just kind of back and forth, a dogfight. And you see 7-7, 14-14. And just back and forth there to about the final 30 seconds when Greenfield punched one in. a little to no time for the Arabians to try to do anything, but they gave everything they had towards the end just to try to make a play.
Yeah, and you mentioned there, all the way back in week four, we saw these two teams face off. And I mean, if anything's going to tell you how much this Arabians team, specifically offense, progressed then to now, it is going to be the comparison of those two games. I mean, we mentioned so much. That week four game at Greenfield Central was the worst offensive performance we saw from the Arabians all season. But then Greenfield Central last night, arguably one of the best. I mean, just looking at the numbers here, Isaac Wilson, I mean, as Coach Joyce just mentioned, he was the best guy on the field on either team, had 12 attempts on the ground, 106 yards. On top of that, two touchdowns, was averaging 8.4 yards per carry. But then he was a absolute mastermind when it comes to the air, having throwing 14 for 15 on completions and 126 yards as well as a touchdown. So Isaac Wilson, phenomenal night. And as you mentioning, such a dogfight. And unfortunately, Greenfield did come on top, and I got a lot of that's going to go to the run game, that final drive. They just did a phenomenal job with that clock control, just running out that clock, just giving the Arabians no time to respond. And sure, the Arabians might have made some choices they regret on the kickoff, trying to do something special. A couple laterals might have wasted too much time off the clock. But overall, nice performance from the Arabians, just a very bitter ending.
And just speaking of overall throughout the game, offensive side of the ball, Coach Joyce spoke on Isaac Wilson. He threw for 14 of 15 on completions, and as you mentioned, that only one incomplete pass was to throw the ball away to avoid the sack, to preserve time there late in the ball game. So what kind of credit do you have to give that junior quarterback stepping in, first year as a quarterback, as we mentioned last year, played the receiver position, but in a big sectional game like that?
I mean, just watching every single game throughout, it was just clear as day how this guy just progressed throughout the season. I mean, Newcastle week three, he threw 11 for 19, 74. Fast forward a couple weeks, he's throwing like 9 for 23. But then Delta, he took it running 13 for 19. Then he started throwing so much more comfortable in that pocket, throwing an average of actually threw about four games in a row, both Greenfield Central, Shelbyville, Yorktown, and Delta. He threw for 100. And ran for nearly 100 in all of those games. I mean, that just shows that he's just such a dual threat quarterback. He can do it in the air. He can do it on the ground. He can do it pretty much everywhere. And that's just such a danger for defense. That's just so hard to predict, what he's going to do next. I think that's his specialty. But you got to give some credit to the wide receivers. I mean, Coach Joyce has just mentioned in there, Reese Reddington had a great night. Was only caught about two balls, one of them being a score, a touchdown. And then other than that, Nate Duroff did a phenomenal job this season, kind of at a hybrid spot. We saw him in the backfield a couple times. We saw him catching a couple screens. But nevertheless, he would go downfield and make a couple of big plays, especially last night. So overall, as we've been mentioning, great performance by the offense. I mean, the defense, I think, did an okay job. Obviously, that Greenfield Central run, just devastating. Ran it 70 times for 362 yards and five scores. Andrew Zellers, 100% the player of the game for that Cougar side of things. But, I mean, they were only averaging 5 yards a carry in that, and like averaging that, I mean, sure, that might not be the best, but comparing that to last time they faced him in week four, I think there's a lot of improvement.
And when you look at this team, you look back to the 3 weeks they really struggled there. At first off, when they first saw Greenfield back in week four, all the way up through Mount Vernon, they were back really trying to fight to have a winning season or even meet that 500 threshold. And they found it. They played a very talented Delta squad at Delta, came away victorious there. And then they faced a Yorktown team who happened to be just 6-1 at that time, knocked them off as well, and then, of course, finished the regular season at Shelbyville with a nice win. But what did you see out of this team just in their ability to work together, to fight, to be up to around that winning regular season and then finishing at that 500 spot?
Yeah, and you mentioned there, those three games. I mean, those three games, 100% the hardest players on that Arabian schedule. Greenfield Central, New Pal, and Mount Vernon, all those guys being a top-caliber team. Pretty sure New Pal did get the win last night, but it was a dogfight. Mount Vernon definitely gave them a run for their money. But nevertheless, I mean, I think the Arabians showed so much improvement, so much collectivity on the offensive and defensive side of things. I think Nolan Souders is a guy to mention on that defensive side of the ball. Had a phenomenal year, getting multiple picks. I think he was top 20 in the state when it comes to interceptions, the first on the team. And then Nick Trout, you can also mention, leading the team with tackles. He's just all over the field all the time. We call his name all the time up in the booth. But overall, great performance from the Arabians. As you mentioned, just a collectivity. They just had so much chemistry, especially towards that end of the season.
And then last night, started the second half. The Arabians did not receive the ball because they received it at the start of the first half. But the defense came out and they got to work. Nick Trout there with that forced fumble and then was able to recover that and return it for a 33-yard touchdown, which really kind of shifted the momentum back towards the Arabians there. Well, how big of a play was that?
Oh, yeah, as we mentioned in the booth and exactly how you put it, that was just a gigantic momentum shifter. I mean, I don't think you can get much better than that. Scoop and score. Nick Trout did a great job, had great awareness, knowing where the football is, and decided to just pick it up and run with it. And he had some nice speed to get into the end zone. And we know that Greenfield has some pretty fast dudes, not only in the backfield, but the wide receiver spots as well. So great job by Nick Trout getting to the end zone. And, I mean, as you mentioned there, that was just that gave them the advantage kind of like mentally. Quieted down the crowd a bit, got the Arabians crowd going. So overall, great play there for Nick Trout and the defense as a whole.
And when you talk about the defense, last night we all know that Greenfield's a very heavy run offense. Yeah. They talk about the wishbone. That's what they praise over there. And the Arabians, they allowed some yards, quite a bit of yards there on that run game, but they forced them to pass more in that game than what you probably see in most other games.
Yeah, and that wishbone, I mean, as I was mentioning last night, the coaches actually have a wishbone on the back of their shirt, so if anything's going to tell you how much they love that, if you put it on your shirt, you obviously use it quite a bit. And I mean, yeah, we saw all the time, I was calling that final drive, I'm pretty sure they only use another formation a number of times, but throughout that game, the Arabians did force those guys to pass, and though they did an all right job in the air, there was some nice routes ran by Will DeJarnett, that tight end spot for Greenfield Central. Overall, I think the Arabians did a great job covering the field, making sure that run wasn't getting too much. Obviously, you mentioned forcing them to pass on a couple of plays and locking down those as well.
But when we come back, Coach Trout will be joining us to talk about the defensive side of the ball this season here on the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Detour Salon and Style. Detour Salon and Style provides women, men, and children haircuts, skincare, and spa services on Facebook and Twitter or at DetourSalonAndStyle.com. Detour Salon and Style, 1816 East 53rd Street in Anderson, 765-400-5323 or at DetourSalonAndStyle.com.
Investing in education-based athletics builds strong communities and a strong, successful Indiana.
That's because when we support education-based athletics, we're not only supporting Hoosier student-athletes, we're championing the next generation of doctors, CEOs, and engineers, not to mention future teachers, first responders, and civil servants. I'm Brian Lewis.
And I'm Chris Kaufman. We're both assistant commissioners of the Indiana High School Athletic Association.
High school sports are the training ground for our future community leaders, impact makers, and world changers.
When we invest in student athletes, we're teaching them the importance of serving others selflessly,
leading them to become engaged, compassionate citizens who pay it forward and continue building a positive future for Indiana and beyond.
Support the next generation of Hoosier difference makers by buying a ticket to your high school's athletic events.
This is serving our community. This is strengthening our future. This is your IHSAA.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEM.
Welcome back to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEM. But now joining us is Coach Trout. But Coach Trout, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us. I just want to say real quick, you guys do an awesome job. I've loved being on this year. It's been incredible. The coverage you guys do is second to none. It is awesome. And I get to listen to the clips from other broadcasts, and you guys are incredible. So thank you for what you guys do.
But last night, a dogfight there at Greenfield Central to the very end. But what did you see out of your defense?
Well, a lot of character. I mean, same thing we saw on offense. You know, it was a lot of character. We didn't make the plays when we had to eliminate that long drive at the end. We were calling our stuff to their stuff. I mean, we were matching up, but they had a little bit more mojo at the end and pushed it through. And credit to them. I mean, they stuck with their game plan when they strayed away. And I heard you guys talking when they strayed away from the wishbone is when we really took advantage of them. Or we made them, I don't say take advantage of them, that sounds bad, but we made them do things that they weren't comfortable doing. And you could tell that, even though they did complete some passes and things like that, it wasn't what they wanted to do. And when they went back to their bread and butter, they really salted the game away, and it was tough. But our kids didn't give up. We had a couple kids go down there late with some lower leg injuries. Guys stepped in, played hard for them, and it was great character.
And as you were just talking, we talked about it earlier, but when they were forced to throw, but what does that show about your defense to make them go away from their main focus to kind of a secondary option?
When we can get them off schedule, which wasn't very often last night, you know, make them second and long and then third and long, that really narrows down what they really wanted to do, and it forced them into to do some things that they didn't want to do. So I feel like we still needed to get one more takeaway. We needed to stop them on the punt. And one more takeaway probably could have salted the game for us. Stopping them on that punt would have given us the ball. They scored on that drive after us not stopping them on the punt. So, I mean, just little things. And in big, tight pressure cooker situations, those little things add up to a result where you lose by 6 points.
Yeah, and Siddiqui Troyor had a phenomenal night last night as well. It was a great season. Made a couple of nice plays in the backfield, stopping that wishbone multiple times. So what have you seen from him with his time in the program?
He's special. Coach Huth recruited him out in middle school, and thankfully he came out, and he's worked his butt off in the weight room. And Coach Richmond can talk more about that. But I've seen the way the kid's body's changed, and he's a humble kid that works really hard, and he's fun to watch. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do in the future. I hope he continues playing, and because I think there's somewhere that's going to be a match for him that's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, Nick Trout with a huge fumble recovery, scoop and score for a touchdown at the start of the second half. So what kind of momentum did that give your team?
Gave a lot of momentum, but, you know, the scoop and score, it was Nick. He was kind of Johnny on the spot there, but it was former a trio of former PJFL Eagles. It was Sam Mosney who didn't run upfield. They ran a decide option where the quarterback kept the ball. Sam stayed home, forced the quarterback inside. Eli Arthur trailed it from behind, punched the ball out, and that's when we got the play. So that was teamwork. That was teamwork 101, resulting in a highlight for Nick. But it really was Eli Arthur chasing it down like a madman from behind. But you know, the quarterback's cutback was forced by Sam Mosney. So, I mean, again, when we played like that, the momentum was on our side, and it was great to see. Now, the live and die of that is our defense went right back on the field and had to play. So we played, and I know Coach used a timeout so we could get a breather because our offense didn't touch the ball until like 4 minutes left in the third quarter, and our defense was on the ball the whole time, and we ended up giving up a score then later too. So I mean, it was darned if you do and darned if you don't, and we kind of saw both sides of that.
And when you're talking just about some of those groups back from PJFL that are still continuing to play in high school, but what type of special bond did this group have compared to maybe other groups?
Well, and I can speak directly because you know, I'm a dad of one of the players, and I've coached all these kids forever, and it's been a blast. But you know, my son was upset last night because he's not going to get to play with Quinn anymore. He's not going to get to play with Ian anymore. Sam, I mean, the list goes on. I mean, the guys that he just absolutely looked up to and loved, guys that have been playing forever, and you know, that was really hard for him. He is in the dumps this morning because of those relationships that were formed beginning at PJFL, but also through middle school, and then obviously the days here in the weight room and on the practice field.
Then a handful of seniors on the defensive side of the ball this season, but what have you seen just collectively from them throughout the season?
Well, I saw selflessness. You know, I can't put it any other way. You know, Quinn DeVault stepped in when he got the opportunities. Clifton Van Dyne, you know, he was battling a lower back, nagging lower back for the last 5 weeks. Didn't say anything to anyone. Just kept doing what he had to do. And you know, when he got his chance, he was in. You know, Jordan Green, God love him. I'm one of my favorite kids I've ever coached. He responded to coaching and got some tough love at sometimes, but I've never seen a kid respond the way he did. And I mean, his change from last year to this year, you know, we've got, of course, Jordan Jared Hess, who was our hit man. I mean, he led us. He had to have. I don't know totals, but were big hits for the year. He had to have led us in big hits. And Jalen Seco, I mean, he's Mr. Technician. I mean, he's going to want to go play football somewhere, and he'll go play football somewhere because he can, and he's so talented. He's got great footwork, and he loves the extra off-the-field stuff. I mean, he's a powerful kid. even though he's not very big, and he does some really good stuff. And he actually got a big hit last night. It was awesome. I love to see it. He also fought off a block and got a holding penalty called on Greenfield. But I mean, you got guys like Brandon Adams who came to us earlier, in the offseason and said, "Hey, can I move positions?" He recognized that he had gotten to be a bigger kid. He's much more physical than a typical defensive back, and played outside linebacker, and he made some plays last night. I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, Sam Mosney stepping in and playing some on defense and doing some of the ugly work, which is playing some nose when we need him for Eli Libler. I mean, it just the list goes on and on. I mean, I can't say enough about the seniors, my defensive backs, but also just all the rest of the guys that just have stepped up and played this year.
Yeah, and although it's a ways away with the whole offseason to prepare for next year, how do you guys channel this hunger into a positive way?
Well, I think that's up to the players. You know, I think they have to see that there are opportunities out there, and I really believe that they do think that there are opportunities out there. You know, when we left our team meeting last night, Clint Miller called all the juniors in to talk, and you know they had a moment to themselves. I didn't even ask Nick what they talked about. I don't want to know, and I don't care. The fact that they're doing something together says a lot, and you know it's the same thing that was modeled by Ian and Sam with their senior class. I mean, they're taking things that they've learned from those guys because they've been watching. Coach Joyce said, if you haven't learned something from this senior class, then you weren't paying attention. Well, our guys were paying attention, and you know they may not always say it or show it, but without question, they did.
Yeah, and with a handful of seniors leaving this year, as you were just mentioning, so how big is that role for those underclassmen to fill it in?
Well, it's huge, but again, I mean, some of those guys filled in this year from guys who left last year. So it's the cycle of what we do. Our coaches do an awesome job of getting kids prepared from JV. I mean, our JV, our underclassmen have had winning records. I think we've had one team with a losing record in the 5 years I've been here. So I mean, we've done a good job of getting kids prepared and getting kids able to step in and perform those tasks and be able to communicate. And it doesn't happen by accident. We do it in practice with our ones and twos and rotating guys, and even with scout teams, we get kids prepared. So I'm fully confident that the kids coming back are going to learn from this year's seniors and be able to do that.
Well, Coach Trout, thank you for joining. Been a pleasure having you on the show this year. But when we come back, Coach Richmond will be sitting down with us to recap what we saw last night here on the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Thanks.
Thank you.
The WEEM Morning Show is on 91.7 WEEM every Tuesday through Friday morning from 5 to 7 a.m. Make sure you tune in to listen to Bella Myers
and Kennedy Quinn talk about everything that has to do with the first half of the day. 91.7 WEEM.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM. But now joining us is Coach Richmond. But Coach, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So starting off here, as well as we all know, last night you guys took a heartbreaking defeat against the Greenfield Central Cougars in that first round of sectionals. So what were some of the positives and negatives you saw from that game last night?
I think, there's a lot. There's a lot of positives. It's tough this morning. Got a lot on my heart and in my mind, so I'm going to try to keep this as clear and focused as possible. Nice to see the sun come up. There were moments last night I didn't know if it would the way I felt, but if you can be here doing this interview, I think that says a lot too, you know what I mean? I think it says a lot about you, Ian. For me, when I got into coaching, it wasn't to, and with these seniors, I think about this, I go back to when this all started with you guys recruiting you in middle school, and it was never to make a point, it was to make a difference, you know, and you guys have absolutely made a difference on our program and in this community and in this school. So I think that is the bar, you know what I mean? And last night, in a game we all love, you saw a team fighting its heart out, and man, they left the DNA on the field. So I think there's a lot of respect earned. If Greenfield didn't respect us, they feel the respect this morning. And sometimes that only gets you so far throughout the day. But when you give your all to something you love and you're passionate about it, you really can't do anything else. It's the guy in the glass poem, you know. And I think everybody can look in the mirror today and know we left it out there. So I think that's the thing in my mind that encapsulates last night.
So although last night's game was on the road, your fans definitely traveled well, probably packed the fans more than what Greenfield's fans even brought.
Yeah.
So what does that tell about these players and how they're developing not only the program, but bringing the community with them?
Yeah, I mean, everybody was excited. I mean, our fans are better than everybody's fans anyway, so I'll make no I'll make no confusion on that. And last night they brought the juice, but you know, Ian, we gave them something to cheer about. I mean, my goodness, you guys... I mean, it's not hard to rally around a bunch of underdogs fighting their tails off, and I mean, that's what America loves. I mean, that sounds very dramatic, but we didn't just make Pendleton better last night. We made America proud. That's what I'm a history teacher at heart when I started teaching, and my goodness, you know, there were times last night that would try a kid's toughness and mindset, and you know, the momentum was swinging back and forth, and the intensity of the game and the drama of it, and our fans, my goodness, they led right into it, and it was felt last night. It was felt. The love they had for this team and this community and program was felt. So I was really, really proud of that and appreciative.
So as the season comes to a close, there are obviously a handful of seniors who will be saying their goodbyes to Arabian football. So who and what have you enjoyed the most about the senior class as a whole?
Well, they stuck together, you know, and they just did. And we even got some guys back out that maybe took a break early on. I mean, you look at Jalen Jordan, he didn't play as a freshman, right? And I was lucky to have him in Wade's class, and I take no credit for this, but I just kept recruiting him and recruiting him and recruiting him, you know, and his teammates did too. It wasn't just me, it was his teammates too, and he just becomes our leading receiver this year, you know, he you know, that's a guy at the top of my mind right there. But Tucker Barnes, another guy, you know, came back out. He didn't get a lot of playing time this year, but man, he gave us good scout team looks, and his energy and attitude, and you know, again, didn't play all 4 years. I mean, Jared Hess, I mean, every time I turned down my neighborhood, I had to look at his house and wonder why he wasn't playing football, you know? And gosh, I just wish I had more time. You know, I mean, that's the thing that's hard for me is just personally, it's hard, you know? And when you put it all in, and I mean, these guys aren't going away forever, but you don't get to coach them anymore in every day, in an everyday mindset, and it's challenging. But those are three guys right off the top of my head that I'm just so proud that they came out and finished up with us, you know, and I'd like to think they're better because of it, but they're awfully good anyway. So, but I mean, you know, can't say enough about the 4 years a kid like Sam Mawson he put in, you know, and he was junior All-State and he gets accolades. But last night, I mean, that kid, he played more defense than he's ever played because Libby went down with the ankle. And we were just beat up and the way they were going, and he didn't waver one bit. He played nose guard. And if anybody knows what playing nose guard is like, it's not an easy job. And then to do it in that setting against that offense, it's kind of like putting your hands it's kind of, if you could jump in a washer, that's probably what it feels like. You know what I mean? I mean, you're getting double teamed. Your hands getting slammed. You're just, my goodness. It's like another good example of maybe being in a rough ocean. Yeah, I mean, you're just getting thrown around. And once you get your head above water, then you're right back down in it. And you got to really know how to fight the current, so to speak, right? If we stick with that comparison. And my God, he showed a lot of guts last night. I mean, I don't know if I've seen a guy step up like that in the 7 years we've been here and show toughness like that and then go snap the ball at center and run our offensive line, you know. And, of course, he's got good guys like Ian right next to him who, again, you know, this guy's been beat up. He doesn't talk about it. He's all these guys have. You know, I hear Greenfield's coach talking about how beat up they are and how this, that, and the other. Well, welcome to football in the HHC. Like, if you want to be the best, you got to find some depth and you got to find some dudes. And unfortunately, they had the ball more than we did, and they beat us. But I'll tell you, I'll take my guys any day. And those are guys right off the top of my head that, goodness, they just showed a lot of toughness last night. Brennan Adams, too. I mean, my God, he wrong-armed pull. I mean, he just – physicality he showed last night, just tremendous.
Yeah, last night, another player, Isaac Wilson, was business as usual, having yet another game with over 100 yards in the air and on the ground, as well as four total touchdowns. So how was he really developed when comparing the start to this season to now?
Night and day. I mean, he's the best player in the field last night. They had no answer for him. They could say what they want, and they get to play this week, but the last 4 weeks, nobody had an answer for Isaac Wilson, and that's a credit to that young man. And it's credit to his toughness, too. I mean, I don't think people realize how difficult it is to come out. And, you know, I've coached in this offense now for a long time. And for him to run the ball against the physicality of their defense, which you got to give them some credit. I mean, there's some big boys out there, and they hit, and they're strong, and they're fast. And he was taking them on. He's only the smallest guy on the field. I mean, and it doesn't matter because he might have had the biggest heart out there. And I'll tell you what, he didn't waver, stuck his nose in there. I mean, he made plays that weren't there at times. And, I mean, I don't know how long we have, because I could talk for a long, long time on Isaac. I mean, I'm just the growth he's shown. You know, I told him last night, I hugged him, and I just told him, man, you got to take this to basketball now. Now you got to take this moxie and all this confidence, and you got to take it to Coach Ballard, and you cannot let up. And he'll continue to be the quarterback and have that for us. But that's good for the school. I mean, this school needs more Isaac Wilson like that. You know what I mean? And I'm excited to see what he continues to do.
Yeah, and another player that deserves mentioning for not only their performance last night, but for the season as a whole, is none other than Siddiqui Traore, who I've looked forward to watching every Friday night. And with that being said, what did you see from him and maybe some of the other seniors on the defensive side of the ball last night?
Sure. I mean, Siddiqui, you know, I didn't get a chance to listen to Coach Trout or Coach Joyce, this might be redundant, I don't know, but Siddiqui was the Arabian of the Week this week during practice. We give out a weekly award. It's kind of that lunch pail mentality, right? The guy that really brings it and gives it consistently. And then we give it for the game as well. And, you know, just rewarding the things that we value the most. And Siddiqui, they have a defensive lineman at Greenfield, number 9, Brad Allen. He is something else. And we did a pretty good job on him last night, but he's one of the best defensive linemen in the conference, maybe the state for that matter. And Siddiqui was him in practice. And so that's not an easy job. At this point in the season, 60-plus practices, taking on double teams against our offense, which I think has gotten a lot better, and especially up front, those linemen are physical. And he really gave us a great look this week on scout team. And then to flip around and to have to defend their offense – and jump right in that rough sea again is something else. I mean, because the defensive tackle position isn't much easier than nose guard. It's just a little different. And so versus having guards blindside you as you're taking on the center and things like that on double teams, now you got a big 6'5", 230-pound tight end at times, right, and a tackle. So and these guys, not only did they take on that challenge, but they had fun doing it. And that's where I'd credit Sam again. Those guys together, man, they were a handful in there last night. And they gave us a chance to win against a really, really potent offense. But Siddiqui did it both sides being scout team and defense all week long. And, you know, he was banged up at different times this season. And, I mean, his weight room, he never wavered. Him and Jared Hess are weight room partners in sixth period. And, I mean, it's inspiring and fun to watch those guys get after it. And so it's not surprising to me to see how his season went and see how his career went. And it's why you coach. You know, you see a guy that starts to love something And he continues to do it and gets better and better and better at it, and then becomes one of the better guys around at it. It's pretty fun to see.
But when we come back, we will talk about the overall season as well as what to expect here in the offseason on the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Investing in education-based athletics builds strong communities and a strong, successful Indiana.
That's because when we support education-based athletics, we're not only supporting Hoosier student-athletes, we're championing the next generation of doctors, CEOs, and engineers, not to mention future teachers, first responders, and civil servants. I'm Brian Lewis.
And I'm Chris Kaufman. We're both assistant commissioners of the Indiana High School Athletic Association.
High school sports are the training ground for our future community leaders, impact makers, and world changers.
When we invest in student athletes, we're teaching them the importance of serving others selflessly,
leading them to become engaged, compassionate citizens who pay it forward and continue building a positive future for Indiana and beyond.
Support the next generation of Hoosier difference makers by buying a ticket to your high school's athletic events.
This is serving our community. This is strengthening our future. This is your IHSAA.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM. But Coach, as the season has come to an end, what have you just seen out of the development of all these players throughout this season?
Well, there's no question we're better than when we started. And, you know, I think that's a good way to judge a program. I mean, you know, in the middle of the season, you know, we lost a few games in a row. And obviously that's not what you want. It was against some pretty good competition, you know, Greenfield included in that. And if we back up a step, we came out against Lebanon and we did some things that we had to learn from right away. You know, we scrimmage a really good Mooresville team. And if we back up farther than that in camp, we scrimmaged an undefeated Fort Wayne Carroll team. And so we knew we had some abilities, right? Because we were able to hang with some really good programs, come in against a good but unknown Lebanon team that replaced a lot of kids from the year before. And just didn't play our best, you know, and we're trying to find out who we were. You know, Isaac goes down. That's obviously some adversity right off the bat that we didn't expect. And so we grew up, had to grow up pretty quickly in some spots. And once we kind of got him back and got things figured out to what our strengths were, I think you saw the week-to-week-to-week improvement. And that's all the way around, you know, complimentary football. You know, we got a weapon in Justin Beeler. That's a senior we're going to miss, you know. You know, and we knew we had a good punter in him, but, man, as a season win, he just got better and better. Last night, I mean, he only had two punts, but, man, he made them count, you know. And that's another kid. You know, he was the scout team fullback this week. I mean, who has a punter that's a scout team fullback, right? But, man, he got us ready, gave us a tremendous look. But, again, unselfish is kind of my point. And the growth and maturity of the seniors is kind of the thing that I when you ask that, that's what I think about. I think about how selfless Quinn DeVault was and how hard he played. And he did whatever it took. You know, I mean, he had a carry or two last night. But that, you know, with the way the offense was trending, that wasn't something we were doing a lot of the last few weeks. You know, we were spreading it around. And I think that's a testament to those kids. They just wanted to win. And we won because of that. I mean, you look at some other schools, I mean, you know, that, like last night, they don't play a lot of guys. They just don't. And they you know, they win, okay? But you know who the ball's going to right there and then. It's going to five, right? It was going to five or nine the whole second half. And at the same time, though, you know, we're spreading it out, and we've got weapons all over. And long term, that's a lot harder to defend, you know, and it's more sustainable. That's the way I look at it. That's our philosophy here. And our philosophy is always going to be our best come tournament time and to make a deep run. And obviously we came short on the deep run this year, but you can't fault our improvement. And I couldn't be prouder of our kids and the toughness and resiliency they showed throughout the year and commitment to practice and doing things the right way. And that's, again, it's a testament to our leadership. So really, really proud of those guys.
So next season, obviously, a little ways away, but a lot of hunger to deal with from now until the start of the next season. So what are you most excited about the development of the potential players coming back next season?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think you got to look at you got to look at the junior class first. You know, you get a kid like Dresden Roberts, who is an absolute just stud. I mean, he's a heck of a football player, and he was hurt all year. And that's not something that I announce and, you know, I'm not going to make excuses for. And the thing that I love about Dresden is he isn't either. And I think everybody knows that. But, I mean, he didn't play any offense last night in large part because of the load he carried on defense. And at the same time, he was not 100% at running the football. So as we mixed him in the last few weeks, everybody knew he's going to get the ball when he went in, right? Because he wasn't at his best in pass blocking. And not because of effort or ability. It was because of the injuries and things. So we really had to tailor his menu. And then there's some other guys that just unselfishly we needed to focus on one side of the ball. Nick Trout's another guy. We put on defense. We said, go lead that defense. Eli Arthur's another guy, you know, that we really focused. Those guys were all special teams and defense really here the last few weeks, and I think it made us better because we were more platooning, right? And it gave us more energy, it gave us more physicality as the games wore on, and it helped us win at Delta. It helped us win against a really good Yorktown team, and it helped us compete last night in that quagmire of a game. So but those guys, there's no question. Then, Reese Reddington's another kid, you know. Caden Sims, you look on the perimeter. Nate DeRolf's a sophomore, but, boy, he really made a difference this year. You know, he got better and better as the year went, tougher and tougher. And, you know, Nolan Souders, I mean, 6 picks on the year. All these guys are coming back, right? They're all weapons. Clint Miller, kick returner, and DB. I mean, these guys, a lot of them now have played for a couple years. I mean, Nate, obviously, this is just his first year of varsity. But all these guys now, they got 2 years under their belt. And, Ian, you know what that's like coming into your senior year. You know the confidence that gives you. And they've played a lot of games now, so they've seen a lot of things. And I'd like to think that'll show up. You know, I mean, Peyton Pollock's another one up front. Eli Libler now with a year under his belt. You know, Steven DeVault really came a long way this year. Really showed a lot of toughness. And he's a junior, new to the program this year, but really, really has come along. And, you know, and Bo Surface, too, really grew a lot. All these guys are juniors with the exception of Nate. And they really can have an impact this offseason. And, you know, on other programs, because I hope they play other sports. You know, and that's the thing is we all control ourselves in that way. We decide what level we're going to compete at, and it isn't a coach that dictates that. It isn't the weather. It isn't a referee. It's us. So you either bring it or you don't. You're either competitive or you're not, and that's what we're trying to build in the weight room. You know that. You've embodied that for 4 years, and I really, really hope that transitions to other arenas.
Yeah, and one player that without a doubt will be an X factor next season returning is Eli Arthur, who's such a passionate player and always gets the team psyched up. So what have you seen from him? What are you hoping to see on that side of things?
Yeah, just growth and maturity. I mean, he's the kind of kid you want to get him coach every day. There's no question. He's going to bring it. He's going to bring it in the weight room. And right, wrong, or indifferent, it's out there. You know how he's feeling. I mean, you know he's going to bring the effort. And so, you know, channeling that into discipline and a focus, I see a lot of passion boiling over with him, and it's infectious. And so that's something that we got to bring to everybody. And so you know, leadership's by example first, you know, and he definitely does that. He's as committed as a guy we have, and he's in a position defensively to make plays and special teams, and, you know, it's part of it. There's no question. He's a big part of this junior class and what's coming back. So excited to see the offseason, what it brings, and what these guys can build themselves into. So
as the season comes to a close, are there any final thoughts you want to give the fans, players, or families listening in?
The thing that pops in my mind is just a sense of gratitude and appreciation. You live this and you do this every day like I do. And I've told you guys before, you know, there's people sometimes like, Coach, you got to turn it off, take a break for a second. And it's hard to when you see kids pouring into the program like they do, and parents and community members like last night. There's a lot of people that care about Pendleton football. And I'm very grateful to be the torchbearer and lead this program. When I took this job, you know, I told Coach Buck and the school board, you know, we want to give you something you're proud of. And I think these seniors have led this group that everybody's proud of them and this program. And, you know, again, I'm not trying to make a point. Every day we try to make a difference. And these guys are bigger than football players, and I think they've owned that. You know, everybody's got a responsibility in the school to lead and to be good citizens and to be good people. And football's a game they all get to play, and we all get to play, and we love it. And these seniors, you know, they're going to go on and do great things. I know they will. The work ethic and the commitment that they've shown, I mean, that's what's exciting for me. And, you know, we talk about this, and I said it last night, but with this program, relationships are forever. And you saw that last night. I mean, you had former players in the stands and even a couple, you know, got down on the sidelines. And there's still a lot of passion from previous players because they know what you guys put into this. They know what the coaches pour into this. And it's about more than just winning games. And that's a byproduct. And we're really disappointed. That's competition is a huge part of what we do. I mean, that's the point, right? We want to be successful, you know, on the test. And last night, you know, it's tough. You know, did we pass the test or did we not pass the test? You know, obviously the season's over. But, you know, as a coach, I told the team last night, I mean, this is hard, but no moral victories. But I can't ask of more than what guys gave us last night. Undersized, undermanned maybe at times, and just absolutely given everything they have. And, you know, that's a true testament of a team, and nobody wavered on one another. They all had each other's backs. So, you know, we went down there and did what we wanted to do. You know, I think our biggest opponent last night was ourselves, unfortunately. They didn't stop us all night. I mean, they really didn't. You know, I mean, the last drive that faltered, we snap it over our head. And that's not on Sam. That's the way of the game. You know, the ball bounces that way sometimes. You know, they were going to fake a punt, and it was a sloppy snap, and the kicker gets loose. You know, the punter gets loose and gets a first down by a yard. You know, you got to make your own breaks, and life's tough. And last night there were some moments in there where we really could have got a hold of it, and they just made a few more plays than us. But it wasn't for lack of effort or attitude, and that's the thing with our program that I'm seeing all the way down. I mean, our horsepower group is about to compete in their postseason now in the elementary levels. And the way we're working with basketball and other programs is just second to none. We're sharing athletes, and we're, you know, 80% of these high school guys play another sport. Really proud of that. They're balancing both. It's not an excuse. You know, they're doing everything they can to be successful on the field, and we just got to keep building and continue to improve on things we need to. And that's what I see from the underclassmen to carry this legacy on, is they're ready and willing to take on the work. And really, that's the expectation of each group. You know, people talk about how tradition doesn't graduate, and it's true. The traditions that we've created, they won't graduate with these seniors, but it's the responsibility of everybody else to uphold them. It's a responsibility of this year's junior class now to not say at the end of next year, boy, those seniors, they outworked us before we got here. You know, they've got to now outwork, and they've got to be stronger and learn from the things that have happened before them. And I think they're ready and willing, and I'm excited for that. It's a sad day on one hand because you say goodbye to one group, but it's the start of the making of another team as well. So, and I want to thank you guys for all you've poured into this too. It's awesome coverage. Weem is it's a special radio station, and you guys have done a great job with that as well. So appreciate Mr. Whitehair and all you guys bring to the community and the school. So,
well, Coach, thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you on the show this year.
Thank you. Go Ravens.
But when we come back, me and Dawson will break down fall sports here on the ASA Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yeah! Yeah, I want to go outside. I want to be.
We're here. There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I love that high school sports are about so much more than winning.
I couldn't agree more. While the immediate goal might be to win a game or championship, the real purpose of high school sports is to develop good people, not just good athletes. I'm Robert Falkins, a proud South Bend LaSalle Lion.
And I'm Carrie Rosati, a proud Roncalli Royal. We're both assistant commissioners of the Indiana High School Athletic Association.
In education-based athletics, we care just as much about how student-athletes are performing in the classroom as we do about how they're performing on the playing field.
That's because high school sports are a tool to build the character of student-athletes, not just their athletic skills.
Developing the whole person rather than just the athlete. That's what high school sports in Indiana are all about.
Support the real purpose of education-based athletics by buying a ticket to your high school's athletic events.
This is training good athletes. This is developing better people. This is your IHSAA.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM. But as fall sports definitely winding down day by day today, or football now over, one sport remains left in the fall season. That's cross country today. They travel down to semi-state, both the boys and girls teams. So they're having a lot of success so far this season, being able to place well in the sectional, regional, and then now trying to clinch a spot in that state competition next weekend.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously football is the big fall sport, and that's no offense to the other sports, obviously, but I think cross country is just such a tough sport to play. I mean, obviously going to practice for several hours a day. I mean, some of those guys I know in the junior class, my class, Will Coggins, he's one of those big runners. He's been running today. I was talking to him at lunch just about his season. I mean, he enjoys it so much. He also does track. And Andrew Blake, the senior class president, both those guys just such great runners and such great leaders. But on the football side of things, as we've been talking about so much this morning, it's been a great season. Unfortunate wrap up last night, but as all the coaches have been saying, it was still just not a lack of effort and not a lack of trying, as the Arabians definitely brought it last night. So overall, I think, as you're mentioning, fall sports coming to a close, just focusing on that football one. It sucks to end it this way, but I'm pretty excited for next year, as we definitely got quite a bit of potential throughout the roster.
And as you mentioned, a lot of potential, as Coach Richmond was even talking about, a lot of returning juniors. Yeah. And you're seeing some sophomores in the mix. You got players such as Nate DeRolf, and then you're even seeing some freshmen, Luke Graham, an offensive lineman. He's got a lot of potential. I've really enjoyed being able to practice and just watch him grow throughout the season. Rylan Keesley, another player who's really got a lot of potential. He played some varsity minutes as well this season, and when he was in there, he made it matter the most. So a lot of potential for this Arabian team, but it's how they can channel this hunger this offseason, as Coach Trout was talking about, to be or getting better and better day by day to prepare for next season. Although that is a long time away, a lot of growth to be done. But that will be the end of our Fall Coaches Show. We will be starting back up on the 31st when we start the Winter Coaches Show with Coach Rogers and Coach Ballard and many other winter coaches. But for Dawson Peril, I'm Ian Stevens, signing off and wishing you all a wonderful Saturday. You're on 91.7 WEEO.